It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Turner Hall has long been a popular music venue, not to mention a destination for Friday fish fries and beer. Well, tonight, Turner is hosting a different sort of food event and organizers hope a lively discussion. With a tagline of, quote, Wisconsin's right to real food, unquote, the theme of food freedom is meant to cultivate a broader community conversation around supporting small regional farmers. That includes Vernon Hirschberger, the Wisconsin dairy farmer who has been at the center of a contentious raw milk debate. Gretchen Mead is one of the people asked to step up to the podium at tonight's Turner Hall event. She's founder of the Victory Garden Initiative in Milwaukee, and she's become a major voice in the local food conversation. Mead sat down with WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz yesterday to share her perspective, beginning with her definition of food sovereignty.
The history of the term food sovereignty is pretty vast, but it comes from a Brazilian workers' movement called Via Campesino. And it's really started in the farmers' sort of revolution of connecting to the land again and having access to land, demanding access to land, and even just squatting on land and taking it back. And there's a movement all over the world in many countries now to make this happen. But beyond that kind of access to land in the food sovereignty movement from farmers, it's become broader even to include things like having choice about what you eat, how you spend your money, because there's the right to grow your own food in some countries, which is really important, but in this country, it's really the right to know what's in your food, to purchase the foods that you want to purchase, to eat the foods that you want to purchase, to know what's good for you intuitively, and then go do that through food, and maybe have the opportunity to step outside of the medical system, outside of the corporate industrial food complex, and make your own choice. And that's really, in this day and age, what it's about, I think, in this country.
You're the founder of Victory Garden Initiative, mm-hmm. and that's grown tremendously in what, over 5 years, right. Essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So what pulled you into that creation?
Well, there were many things that pulled me into founding the organization. At the core, it was my passion for social justice, my passion for environmental sustainability, and a belief in just basic foods that would make us well, rather than some other system outside of us measured in, you know, science and medicine and pharmaceuticals, I guess. And then when I moved to Milwaukee, having lived in the country most of my life, or all of my life actually, I felt a stark disconnect from the land, the earth. And for me, I was sort of a ticking time bomb, like I couldn't not grow food. It was making me feel almost caged a little bit, claustrophobic maybe. And I just needed to grow food. But I lived, of course, in Milwaukee where everybody has or in Shorewood, I guess, at the time, where everybody has a very small yard. And one day I just started growing food in my front yard because I couldn't not do it anymore. And, you know, in retrospect, that really was sort of a food sovereignty issue as well, because it wasn't the norm. Increasingly, it's the norm to grow food in Shorewood in your front yard or backyard or anywhere in Milwaukee in your land. But at that time, you know, I did have to upset some people.
What's the swaying point?
Change happens in many ways for many people, and how people come into the food movement, it varies greatly. But for some people, it's going to be about health. And you may be suffering from some kind of illness because you don't know what's in your food, and because perhaps you don't understand that what you're eating hasn't been appropriately tested by the FDA, or has been appropriately tested and they passed it anyway. I don't want to call out, you know, I don't want to say anything too controversial here, but the truth is that you're likely eating food that's really not good for you in many, many ways. And maybe your best interest isn't being protected and you don't even know it. So that's something to investigate. And what you choose to do about that afterward, if it is in fact affecting your health in some way, you know, then becomes your choice. But when you peel away the layers, if you're really paying attention, you just sort of can't help but feel a little bit upset about the whole thing.
The whole thing meaning?
I think that the food we eat has a lot to do with really just who has resources and money. And And the food that gets put on the market has more to do with who could pay for the funding to test the health or the nutrition or even the safety implications of a food. Who could pay for that research rather than if it's a good food that, you know, the people in this country and community should be eating. And that's not how you do good science. You know, you can't do good science about food. You can't understand the wellness of foods based on funding that's, you know, comes from people who have an interest in making everything seem okay. I hope that made sense. And it happens every, it's not, you know, it happens everywhere, obviously. That's how policies are set oftentimes by people that have resources and an inclination to want a policy to go a certain way. That happens with food policy. It's controlled by people who have the resources to control it, which isn't always a balanced and fair perception or of how the food system should work in our best interest.
We talked about your starting the Victory Garden Initiative, and there's other initiatives, there's other groups that are gradually within Milwaukee, I think, starting to talk more to people who loved the slow food movement, etc. What have you seen evolving, and what do you think might be lacking in that conversation?
I had an interesting moment that I think speaks to this. When I first started doing this work, I was intimidated to some degree to tell certain people that I was extremely concerned, for example, that we're headed towards an ecological cliff. Like, you couldn't say that because it was too extreme. Or I was afraid to tell some people that I'm concerned about the extreme power and resources that are collected in what we now call the 1%, or in, you know, the corporate entities of the world, have they gotten so large and control so much. But I have to say, increasingly, these two conversations are at the forefront of people's minds all over Milwaukee. They wouldn't call themselves an activist or a food justice worker or anything. They're just everyday mainstream people with jobs all over Milwaukee that are like, wow, you know, something's not right with the system as a whole. Something is getting increasingly out of balance. And I'm going to bring this point back around again. I could now sit in a room of people who, actually I've done this, who are working at places all over Milwaukee, and I could say, how many of you are concerned that we're headed towards some kind of ecological cliff, and you're scared about that? People would say, I am. And 5 years ago, it wasn't the case. I also had an interesting moment. I'm on the steering committee of the Institute for Urban Agriculture and Nutrition. They're doing a great job of trying to bring in this whole community into that process of creating such a huge collaboration. And in those conversations, it's starting to become common, because so many people are at the table, not just academics, because the community is so involved. People are saying things at these meetings about corporate power and how that relates to food. And, you know, that's really exciting to me, because that's how we bring the food system back into balance. That's how we assure that people have a voice in food sovereignty issues, that we have control over what we're eating, that everybody has access to really great food. That's how we stop the public school system from feeding children, you know, really foods that aren't that good for them. You know, when we get people involved with academia, policymakers, and that's how we can change things. And that conversation is happening more and more.
So back to the event Tuesday evening. How is raw milk a piece of the food sovereignty discussion?
Well, the science is really mixed about raw milk. Is it good for you? Is it dangerous? It's true that you can get some sicknesses from eating raw milk, raw anything, because it's not cooked, and so therefore there's potential for bacteria on it. So that's true. However, we don't really understand the consequences of having perfectly clean food all the time. We do more and more, and we increasingly think that's related to autoimmune disorders, for example.
By clean, you mean wiped out of any...
Wiped out of any bacteria means clean, I guess, right now. So there's a really good argument for people drinking raw milk because of what it does for your gut flora and fauna, right? To have that denied simply because there's not the right study to prove it yet, that's a food sovereignty issue. And it's not allowing people to have choice over their own wellness and health. And it's kind of like, you know, it's akin to an argument of forcing someone to have surgery or something. And it's kind of the same thing. You should be able to have control over your body and, you know, which foods you put in it. So it's an important one, I think. And if you compare it, I mean, the ridiculous, sometimes to me it sometimes seems ridiculous that this is an illegal product, right? We can go within 5 miles of here and I can go get myself drunk silly. And we know that that's bad for us, but we can, it's perfectly legal. But raw milk, where the science isn't that good, has somehow been villainized. And it's bizarre, actually, to me. Yeah. But we should have choice over that, what we put in our bodies in that way. And what I have found personally from drinking raw milk, and a lot of people have said the same thing, is that the processed and homogenized milk is something they have, they're sort of intolerant to. It causes them to have an upset stomach. But raw milk doesn't do that for a lot of people. And for some people, it's the opposite, which is why there should be a choice.
Gretchen Mead is the founder of Milwaukee's Victory Garden Initiative and will speak at Turner Hall tonight as part of the Food Freedom event. There's more information at wuwm.com/lake effect, and Mead spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Bence.